Well, good afternoon, everybody. Glad to be with you on this wonderful day with this great weather that we're having. I like it pretty warm, so I'm pretty happy. I'm in my element. Well, I discussed the topic with my family, so I like to get feedback. I did have one other suggestion besides the Ten Commandments, which is this one here. Won't say who gave that suggestion. 10 reasons my daughter is so awesome, but in the end of things, I decided just to stick with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are very controversial. It's amazing how controversial they are. This is a 5,000-pound Ten Commandments monument that was in the state of Alabama courtroom. And when it was put in by the Supreme Court Judge Roy Moore, you may know that name, there were immediately lawsuits trying to get it out, and he was actually ordered to remove it, and he refused the order, and he was found in contempt, and he was eventually even removed from office, from his judgeship, because he would not back down and remove the Ten Commandments from the courtroom. Likewise, this is a Ten Commandments monument in Arkansas, and in this case, it was built in 2017. The one was inside, this one was outside, and within a day of this one being built, a deranged person ran his car into the Ten Commandments and destroyed the monument. And so this is a recreation of it that was put in a year later, and you can see the security around it so people can't ram it with a car like happened the first time. The Ten Commandments are part of the Bible. But of all the parts of the Bible, there are some things that are unique about the Ten Commandments. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. So, first of all, the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. Other parts of the Bible, all the parts of the Bible, in fact, are inspired by God, but they were written by men. They were written by Moses, by the prophets, by the apostles, and so they're all inspired. But God is sending us a message by singling out these, you know, that part of a chapter in our Bible, the Ten Commandments, and writing them personally with his own hand. Exodus 31:18, we can see that. Exodus 31:18, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And remember that word testimony, that is synonymous here with the Ten Commandments, with the tablets of stone. And I just want to point that out because a little further down it's going to use the word testimony, and I just want to make sure everybody understands it's talking about those Ten Commandments tablets when it's talking about the testimony. Now, growing up, I had a misconception. I don't know why I thought this, but I thought Moses took these Ten Commandments and he smashed them when he saw the golden calf, and kind of as punishment, he had to go up and he had to personally write out a new copy because he was angry. But that's actually not true. That's not what happened. God wrote the second set also with his finger. And the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 34:1, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So Moses did have to hew those tablets out, but he gave those blank tablets to God, and God himself inscribed even that second set of tablets. So the whole Bible was inspired by God, but these tablets were personally written, engraved by God and not by man. Second point is the Ten Commandments were stored in the Ark of the Covenant. And that's another thing that makes them unique among everything else in the Bible. So Deuteronomy 31:24, so it was when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, because Moses is the one who wrote those first 5 books under God's inspiration, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against them. So it was near the Ark of the Covenant, this book of the law, but it was not in the Ark of the Covenant. It was a separate thing. And compare that to the Ten Commandments. And remember that word testimony that we saw earlier on, and that the testimony refers to the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. So Exodus 25:21, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you will put the testimony which I will give you. So God gave that to Moses on the mountain. This is before he did that. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony. So interestingly, they were in the ark. The rest of the law was not in the ark. And even more, here it's called the ark of the testimony. So when we say ark of the covenant, we could just as easily or just as validly say it's the ark of the Ten Commandments. Because there are multiple covenants, right? And there are some covenants that have come and gone, right? And that's not the covenants we're referring to. When we say Ark of the Covenant, we're referring specifically to the Ark of the Ten Commandments. So there's another point, last one here, and that is that the Ten Commandments are a permanent covenant. And when we say it's a permanent covenant, there are two words in that statement that we need to look at. First of all, it is a covenant, and second of all, it is permanent. It's essentially a treaty, and I want to credit Señor Israel Robledo from Guatemala, because he spoke on this, and I wrote to him, and we wrote back and forth, and he gave me some of the ideas for that, but he pointed out that it's a covenant, but it's like a treaty between kings. And there's another verse that we're not going to turn to, Exodus 32:15, that actually says that the Ten Commandments are written on both sides. And there were treaties between different kings in those times where there were identical copies written on one side for one king and on one side for another king. So we don't know for sure that there were two copies of each commandment, one on each side. The Bible doesn't say that. It just says that they were written on both sides. Señor Robledo actually said it could be that one tablet was the first four, teaching us how to love God. The second tablet was the last six, teaching us how to love our fellow man. We don't know that for sure, but they were written on both sides. And like any good treaty, the treaty was sealed. Now, kings back then would have a signet ring, right? And the signet ring had a certain shape that it could indent into wax, right? First four letters of signet make the word sign. So when the king stamps that wax onto the treaty, he is signing that treaty. He has sealed that treaty. And likewise, the Ten Commandments also have been signed. There is a sign of the Ten Commandments. So let's go back to Exodus 31. And for context, let's look at 18 since we've already read 18. So the context is that Moses is up there on the mountain, and he's just been given the Ten Commandments. So 18 talks about God giving Moses the Ten Commandments and what happens immediately before Moses has given those Ten Commandments. This is what God says. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, when I was preparing this, if you would have asked me where the scripture is that says that the Sabbath is a sign between him and his people, I think I would have quoted that verse I think it's in Ezekiel. But somehow I had forgotten or overlooked that right at the time when God wrote the Ten Commandments and gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, he said right at that time what the sign was. And he says things multiple times. He says things over and over again. He's emphasizing it, right? He's saying that it's a covenant. He's saying that it's a sign. He's saying that it's perpetual. He's saying that it's forever. You can see all those things in bold. And when God keeps repeating something, he's doing it for emphasis. So he's repeating that it's permanent. He's repeating that it's a covenant. And one thing, it almost made point number four, but I didn't make it point number four, and that is that the Ten Commandments are written in stone, right? The rest of the law, the rest of the Bible, not anti-Bible, don't take that away from the message, right? It's all inspired, right? But it's another way that God is elevating these particular things and highlighting these particular things by writing them in stone. They are literally set in stone. And that expression we still have 3,000 years later in English. When we say something is set in stone, that means it's locked in. It's not going to change tomorrow. We've already committed, and it's unchangeable. So if I want to go to the feast in a far-off place, I can talk to my family, and we can say, yeah, let's go there, right? But it's not set in stone. And when I register on the website, okay, I've registered, but it's not set in stone, right? But when I put up my non-refundable hotel deposit and I book my flight that you know the airlines never give that money back, at that point, my decision is set in stone, right? I could die or I could get sick, but I'm committed, and there are big consequences if I don't follow through with that. In this case, consequences to my wallet and my second tithe fund, right? I'm in bad position if I don't go through with what is set in stone. Now, compare the Ten Commandments with other covenants, because one confusing thing is that there's more than one covenant. And when we read about Paul in Galatians talking about the law as a schoolmaster and that he doesn't have to do certain things anymore, it's easy to confuse, especially if all the covenants just blend together in your mind like they're one big blob, right? But they're not one big blob, and that's the whole reason that God went through this effort to write them with his finger, to write them on stone, to put them in the Ark of the Covenant, separate from that other law, because he wanted to show that they are separate. They don't get done away with when the other things get done away with, right? He even said, heaven and earth, right, will pass away before these will pass away. And think about those other covenants. Every covenant has a start point and an end point, right? So think about the ceremonial law. We can nail down the start point. God gave that law to Israel when they came out. There was no requirement to sacrifice a bull for this or a goat for this. If you commit this sin, this is the appropriate bird to sacrifice. There was none of that before a certain point, but there was a start point, right? And we know there's an end point. We can read in Hebrews where we learn that Christ is our sacrifice. We don't need to sacrifice these animals, and their blood was never going to fulfill that purpose anyway, right? So there's a specific start point and end point to the ceremonial law. What about the covenant of circumcision? That has a start point, right? We can see where it was first required of Abraham. It has an end point too, right? We saw the meeting and Acts and where the announcement, there was controversy, and in the end, it was determined, no, God does not require that anymore, right? It has a start point and an end point. But what about these Ten Commandments? What's the start point of that covenant, and what's the end point of that covenant? Well, we know that too. We can read it in verse 17. The start point was when God created the earth, right? He created the earth not for himself. He created for us because we're humans and we needed an incubator. We needed a place for our physical selves to live while we're in this earth before we become like him. And he created the Sabbath right when he created that incubator for us, right? In 6 days, he made heaven and the earth, and then he rested. Okay, so that's the start point of the covenant, but what's the end point of that covenant? Well, it says right there also in verse 16 and in verse 17, right? It's perpetual. There is no end point to that covenant. It's forever in verse 17. So we have these different covenants. They have different start points and different end points. And God went through great effort to distinguish the Ten Commandments by how he wrote them, where he put them, so that they don't get mixed in like one big blob with all the other covenants in our mind. So they're a package deal, right? They were all written together. You don't choose one and not choose another. Just like Anna would be disappointed if I only remember 9 reasons why she's awesome, right? Because she's awesome for 10 reasons, not for 9 reasons, right? Likewise, God made 10 commandments, and he doesn't want me to keep 9 commandments. Or if the U.S. makes a treaty with Iran, and they agree to 10 things, right? They agree not to make poison gas. They agree not to make nuclear bombs. And they keep all of their agreement, except they make nuclear bombs and they drop it on Iran, or on Israel, right? They don't get a 90% because they kept 90% of the treaty, right? America would be disappointed because it was sealed. It's set in stone. Either you keep the agreement or you don't. But the Ten Commandments are not a package deal with those other covenants. They are distinct from the other covenants. So, right after saying that they are unchangeable, there actually is a change that is happening with them, that has happened to some degree and that will happen in the future. And that's in verse, that's in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. So if you would find any defect with the Ten Commandments or anything that needed change, it's that the people on the other side of the treaty from God were not prepared, not able to fully internalize them really with their heart. But that will change, and that will change for the whole world. So the world doesn't like the Ten Commandments. They've tried to ban them. They've tried to outlaw them. They've tried to drive their cars into them. But they remain as a permanent covenant between God and his people.